back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Yeah, welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, and I am filling your prescription for freedom. Lots of listeners to the daytime show or picking up the show on their way home from work, maybe pick it up and record it on one of your devices, and you're listening via the podcast version of the recorded show, or you're listening at a later time than the show aired live. Many of you in the Wichita, Kansas area, KQAM, 1480 AM, Wichita's big talker, will begin carrying the Monster Weekend broadcast in Wichita, which is covering most of that central Kansas area, big signal, and parts of northern Oklahoma this weekend for the Sunday show. They'll be running the show live from 7 to 10 p.m. You join 160 or 170, I lose track anymore, other stations around the country, hundreds of cities carrying the Monster National Sunday broadcast. Now we need to get you this broadcast, too, but welcome to the program. It's great to be filling your prescription for freedom, and I'm looking forward to talking with you on Sunday. And also, tomorrow at about 12 noon your time, I'll be on with Andy at about 12 o'clock noon on KQM, and we're going to be talking about all this fun stuff and the right to bear arms and introducing the show in detail to you. So tune in to KQAM tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon where you'll hear myself and Andy having a great time together. Very quickly, USCCA, there's an end-of-month promotion. It's so new, it's not even up on the website yet, but I want to tell you about it quickly. It begins on the 17th on Thursday. It begins on Thursday. That's tomorrow, and it will run through September 30th. If you sign up for a silver membership, you get a free download, situational awareness delivered to your inbox right after the purchase. If you sign up for the gold level, you get 9 free downloads, which is all items from USCCADownloads.com. And if you sign up for the platinum, you get all gold downloads plus an Otis cleaning kit. Activate your USCCA membership. Real simple. Just head over to USCCAOnAir.com tomorrow. It will be up on the site. Okay, John Lott joins me, Fox News contributor and founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, CPRC. I want to talk with John a little bit about, it's too bad Scott couldn't be here, but pick up the conversation from where Scott was in the Connecticut home invasion that left two critically wounded. John, welcome to the program, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being here.
Great to talk to you again, Mark.
John, we're talking about a home invasion here with Scott Wilson. I know you know Scott and CCDL. You went up there a couple years ago, as he reminded my listeners, and were the keynote speaker at one of his events. And this home invasion occurred about 10 days ago. Two suspects were left critically wounded by a lawfully armed homeowner. Scott wrote a letter to the editor saying, you know, we need to hear more about these, you know, the positive use of guns in the media. And, of course, immediately we get a counter letter to the editor, if you will, titled Gun Risks Outweigh Benefits from Jonathan Perlow in Greenwich. And some of his claims were, studies show that guns are more likely to be used in domestic homicide, suicide, unintentional shooting. Children are more likely to be killed by guns at home than anywhere else. Domestic abusers are 5 times more likely. And he goes on to cite the National Crime Victimization Survey that show calling police or running away resulted in lower chance of being injured than confronting an intruder with a gun. I can't think of anybody better to address this than you.
Right. Well, you know, I suppose you can point to public health studies that make some of these claims, but if you look at the vast majority of research by economists and criminologists, you find dramatically different results. The problem with the public health type research is that they're not really using the right statistics, and there's been data errors. So this notion about the risks of having guns in the home, what they'll do is they'll survey a group of people who died in or near residence, or survey their relatives, ask them whether a gun was owned in the home, and then assume that if somebody died from a gun and a gun that was owned in the home, that it was that gun that resulted in the death. And when people have gone back and looked at the data, they find that about 84% of those deaths or so were actually due to weapons being brought in from the outside, not the weapon that was in the home. And just correcting that one error would reverse the results. But there's a broader problem that you have with this type of public health research, and that is kind of a logical one. So let me give you an example. Let's say we were to use the same type of methodology to go and study the efficacy of hospitals. And so you looked at whether or not people died in a city over the course of the year, asked their relatives whether or not they'd been to the hospital. And then you have a control group of people who are the same age, sex, and race who live within a mile of the disease and ask them whether they've been to the hospital. My guess is you're going to find that people who went to the hospital are more likely to die. But that's not a very useful question, because presumably the reason why the other people didn't go to the hospital is because they weren't sick. You want to look at two people who are equally sick, one who went to the hospital and one who didn't, and find out whether the one who went to the hospital was more likely to die. And my guess is you wouldn't find that. You'd find that hospitals were beneficial, even though the simple first approach would presumably find that they were bad. And the same thing exists for guns. So some people who may have had guns in the home could be gang members. Some people who had guns in the home could have lived in a little bit more dangerous neighborhood or may have had their house broken into in the past. And so there are people who are already at high risk. If you know, having a gun in the home, they still may be higher risk, but simply because they're likely to have crimes committed against them, would it be lower than it would have been if they hadn't been able to go and protect themselves? And so it's the same type of issue there about trying is the hospital case. And the point is that when you take those things into account, you see very clearly that having a gun in the home dramatically improves the safety, that you have, you know, the person that you were referencing was advocating that people have to lock up their guns in the home. Well, for some people, that can make sense. If you live in a relatively safe neighborhood, it probably doesn't matter too much to go and lock your guns up in the home. But if you live in a high-crime urban area, it may not make sense, because locking a gun up, storing the ammunition separately from the gun, makes it difficult for you to quickly get access to the gun to go and defend yourself. And there's research by economists, for example, out there that goes and finds that when you have these laws that require that people have to go and lock up their guns that way, criminals actually become more emboldened to attack people in the home, and they're more successful in committing their crimes. And if you look at deaths from murder, as well as all the other types of deaths that can occur from suicides or accidents, you find an increase in the number of deaths when you mandate that people have to lock up their guns. And this notion about children with guns, you know, first of all, the number of accidental deaths with kids, I mean, it'd be great if it was zero, but it's probably a lot smaller than most people might think. I mean, you're talking about you know, something like 50 million kids living in homes that own guns, at least. And even with that, you're talking about, for kids under age 15, for the most recent data that we have for 2013, about 63 accidental gun deaths. And even that's a bit of a misnomer, because it's not a young kid getting a gun and accidentally firing at somebody. Most of those accidental deaths are from adult males, usually in their mid to late 20s, who are accidentally firing a gun. And a large majority of those have criminal records. And so, you know, it's illegal for these guys to own a gun. You go and you pass some type of law that mandates that they lock up their guns or whatever, it's unlikely that they're going to be the ones who follow those laws, because it's illegal for them to own the gun to begin with.
So the numbers are skewed all over the place, John. We're getting ready to take a break. It's a perfect place to just slow it down right there, because when I come back, I'll let you pick up on that. But the numbers are skewed everywhere. And then I want to talk about the Crime Prevention Research Center and how people can get involved. It's very important, because the information that you're hearing here is contained all over this site. And it's what the mainstream media never tells you about while they're out there parroting the stuff that you're hearing from Jonathan Perlow at Connecticut Against Gun Violence. Hey, by the way, Jonathan, take that. We'll be back right after this with more John Lott.
Yeah.
You and I both know concealed carry is a serious subject, and being prepared to protect your family when it matters most means more than just being a good shot at the range. And that's why 135,000 of your fellow responsibly armed Americans already read Concealed Carry Magazine from cover to cover, including my columns. A subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine isn't just an entire year of unbiased gun and gear reviews. It's so much more. It's real stories from real people who carry concealed every single day, just like you and I. It's life-saving information that'll keep you up to date and prepared, and most importantly, it'll help you be ready and confident to protect your family if you're ever faced with a life or death situation. Begin your subscription today, and not only will you be looking forward to a full year of America's number one publication for responsibly armed citizens, but you'll also automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this offer won't last long, so go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one and the number four, oneofourguns.com, to activate your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. Again, that's oneofourguns.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit crossbreedholsters.com. That's crossbreedholsters.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit crossbreedholsters.com. That's crossbreedholsters.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
As Americans, you have the right to bear arms. You also have the right to have and cook great food. Hey, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and I just launched a great cooking guide. It's called Try This Dish. Why not spice up your dinner? All you got to do is go to irfnews.com. It's chock full of recipes, DIY kitchen tips, everything that's got to do with cooking. That's Try This Dish at irfnews.com. Give it a try today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You too can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
In these Crossbreed Holster studios, I'm talking with John Lott. John, of course, is famed economist, author of More Guns, Less Crime, now in its third edition. You can see him on Fox News as a Fox News contributor, and he is also the head of the Crime Prevention Research Center, CPRC, an incredibly important organization. In the previous segment, you heard John discussing and answering some of those very common myths that the other side puts out in their references to gun safety as an answer to when someone uses a firearm lawfully to defend themselves against crime, which, as far as I'm concerned, exposes their true agenda, which is anti-gun, which we all know anti-gun, but it's gun ban. That is their ultimate goal. And you can read between the lines when you read the letter that the individual from Connecticut against gun violence, whatever that means, says in his letter to the editor of the Hartford Current, response to Scott Wilson from Connecticut Citizens Defense League, really coming after the media saying, hey, why don't you print more of these instead of the other stories? We Americans need to hear more of this. John tells us the truth. John, welcome back to the show. Great to have you here. You were talking about the children and guns win the break. If you've got anything to add to that, go ahead, or we can go right to CPRC, your call.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess the point was that, you know, everybody wants to try to reduce these accidental gun deaths for children to zero. My point would simply be, it's incredibly low to begin with as compared to virtually any other item that's in the home. I mean, you have more children under age five who drowned in bathtubs in the home, you know, in the 90s, 95 or so, compared to 63 for accidental gun deaths for all children under age 15. You have more children under age five who drowned in 5-gallon plastic water buckets around the home than you have children under age 10 who die from any type of accidental gunshot. So it's not, you know, the problem is, it isn't that you should ban guns if you can find one accidental death. The question is, how many lives are saved versus how many lives are lost? And the net effect, I believe, the overwhelming evidence strongly shows, is that a net many more lives are saved than lost. And police are extremely important, but police themselves, if you look at surveys of police, strongly support individuals' ownership of guns because they know themselves firsthand that even though they are important, they almost always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred, and that raises the question about what people should do when they're having to confront a criminal by themselves. And despite the claims that were made there, simply behaving passively is not good advice. Passive behavior or waiting for the police to show up is not the safest course of action. You know, even 8-minute response time, which would be kind of incredibly fast police response time, can be a lifetime for people who are having to directly kind of confront a criminal by themselves, even assuming that they have the time to go and make the call. But people can find these types of general things at our website at crimeresearch.org. I did want to make one comment generally about the media, and that is something else we have at crimeresearch.org, is I have a collection of a few dozen cases of mass public shootings around the country that have clearly been stopped, according to the police or according to prosecutors, who make very clear statements that many more people would have died if a concealed handgun permit holder hadn't been present. And yet you look through these stories, and many times you're lucky to get one local news station or outlet to cover it. You know, if the individuals weren't there and multiple people had been killed, you know it would have gotten national coverage. But even in cases where videotape is available, where you would think that would help make it newsworthy, where a hero has gone in there, maybe even two people were killed in one case I can think of just this last summer in Georgia before the permit holder was able to get inside the building. Police, the sheriff there, said clearly that if the permit holder had not entered the building, many more people would have died. And yet, you know, you just get some local coverage in Georgia on it, didn't get any national coverage. You have cases in Chicago this year where someone started shooting people on a sidewalk in Chicago. Uber driver who had a concealed handgun permit had just pulled his car over, got out, and stopped the attacker. I mean, one could only imagine what type of national news coverage would have occurred if the shooter in that case had been successfully able to go and kill people on a Chicago sidewalk. And yet it got really no coverage outside of Chicago because the permit holder was able to stop the attack before others were killed, even though the state's attorney there clearly said that he believed that many people would have been killed if the permit holder hadn't stepped up.
John, it's interesting you mentioned Chicago. Just 2 days ago on this program, I went down the list by name of the 22 homicide victims in Chicago that went unreported. And I did it in response to Shepard Smith's hysterical coverage of the shooting at the campus at Delta in Mississippi just a couple of days back, where we had apparently a domestic situation, what they determined was a love triangle, and it occurred at the school, which gets massive news coverage, even though it really wasn't worthy of that type of coverage. They've since backed off when it didn't fit their narrative. But I went through and I asked, what about these 22 victims? Just now I pulled that site up. It's now 27, and it's rising every single day. This was 2 days ago, John. It gets no attention whatsoever. None.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, it's, look, people get their perception about guns in large part from the media. If you constantly hear only about bad things that happen and never hear about the benefits, it has a real impact on people's perceptions about the costs and benefits of guns. And so, it just, you know, and I can explain some of the media coverage. You know, if you have two stories where one case you have, a sympathetic person like a victim who brandishes a gun, a woman brandishes a gun, criminal runs away, no shots are fired, no dead body on the ground, versus another, which is like 95% or so defensive gun uses. Versus another case where, let's say, a criminal has been shot, a sympathetic victim's been shot, you know which story is going to get more news coverage. There's no bias that has to be involved there. But the thing is, if you look at surveys of crimes committed with guns and look at surveys of defensive gun uses, people use guns defensively to stop crimes about four or so times more often than they're used to commit crimes. But few people would know that from the news coverage.
I've got to stop you right there, unfortunately, because we're getting ready to end the hour, and that's a great place to end it and for me to direct people over to your site at crimeresearch.org. Up in the top right, there's a button you can click that says donate, and I would beg you to do that. I'm pleading with you to do it. It is no longer fashionable to sit on the sidelines while you read letters to the editor like you read in Connecticut, and Bloomberg is throwing millions of dollars around. John Lott and his organization at the CPRC are there to get the truth out. John Lott, thank you for everything you do. We appreciate it. We're going to continue to move people over to that site for you, and thank you for being here on the show today, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
CPRC, Crime Prevention Research Center. You can visit crimeresearch.org. Everything you just heard is there on that site. It is a fascinating read, and you can help support the organization that is defending you with the truth in the mainstream media, and we need all of that we can get. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast.